What's your favourite fruit? Any ideas what your favourite thing is? How do you do on your 5 a day? Or 10 a day now, isn't it? It's not all fruit, though. It mustn't be all fruit. It has to be a lot of vegetables. They're even better, I believe. When our eldest child, one of our daughters, was a little girl, they had packed lunches, and they would mostly have an apple because they didn't squash up so much, and we didn't have so many posh little lunch packs then, back in the day. And I thought, these apples aren't going down very well. Only to discover that for a whole term she'd taken the same apple every day, brought it home. By the time she took it out of her bag, it looked a sorry mess, I can tell you. But today's reading, the parable and the teaching told by Jesus, but in the story bit, can you remember what it's about? Because it's about a fig tree. Yeah, has anybody ever seen a fig tree? Yeah, yeah. They're quite a beautiful shape. When you see that picture, it's a wonderful shape, isn't it? When it's not been restricted. And I suppose if we're trying to work out what is the what type of a tree we've got, then the fruit is a pretty big proof that you've got it right. Well, here's some to prove it. The strange thing about this tree, fig tree, though, is that it's not in the usual place you'd want it to be. It's not in a garden or some farm in some way. It's in a vineyard, of all places. And if you remember, the vineyard owner came 3 years in a row to get this fruit. 3 years on the trot. Nothing. He didn't get anything off it. And however patient he was, by the third time, he was well and truly fed up with the tree. And I don't think he was bothered about the other things the tree gave, the shelter and all that. He says, let's have it chopped down. Let's take it away. And the gardener, if you remember, who, you know, was the person who did all the lot of the work in the vineyard and knew the plants there, pleaded with him. I'll take special care of this tree, says the gardener. I'll feed it, fertilise it, water it, maybe even prune it. I don't know. Do you prune a fig tree? I don't know whether you do or not. But anyway, the gardener said he will. I mean, this is a weird tree, isn't it? I mean, it's a modern art tree of all the fruits possible, I think. But the thing is, this gardener really wanted to help this fig tree to bear fruit, to be fruitful. We don't know the outcome, actually. We're told it's got one more year, but we're not actually told whether it becomes fruitful or not. But we do know that Jesus told this story after people had come to him and talked to him about two very difficult things that had happened. If you remember, the first thing that they talked to Jesus about was a terrible atrocity, really, that had taken place where Pilate, the Roman governor, had killed people at their place of worship and prayer. They were Jews from Galilee, and they were making their sacrifices, and Pilate had them killed while they were doing that. And there's that really grisly kind of line which says their blood mingled with the blood of their sacrifice, which would have been particularly awful for people. There's, in that bit of the passage, though, you can really just get a taste of how the Galileans were marked out as being a bit different. They were another group. They weren't just people. We had to label them. We're good at that, aren't we? We often need to give groups of people names and not just let them be people the same as us. Pilate had a lot of trouble with the Galileans. He didn't like them. And I kind of almost feel it's a bit like state terrorism, isn't it, that? But then he also talks about the 18 that were killed in quite a different tragedy, and that was when the tower at Siloam collapsed and 18 people were killed in that. And the people asked Jesus that question that we so often ask, don't we? What's all that about then? What's that about? Very difficult questions, aren't they, and thoughts that we have at these awful times. The common belief was at that time that people were sick or suffered because of sin. Do you remember the story of the blind man who Jesus healed? But the people said to Jesus, whose sin was it that made this man blind? Was it his or was it his parents? It was the common thought. And it had gone back a long way. Those of you that are familiar with the book of Job and Job's comforters, you'll remember that during long sufferings, Job's friends were constantly saying to him, it's your sin that's doing this. And Jesus tells us in this reading, it has nothing to do with that. We've witnessed in the media two awful tragedies ourselves just lately, haven't we? The floods that there have been in Mozambique, Malawi and Zimbabwe. And we really need to hold them in our prayers, don't we? And the other in New Zealand. And here's the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who's vowed that she won't even give the perpetrators airspace. She won't even say their names. And she's standing close to a minority group when they and their loved ones were hurt and killed in a place of prayer. I wonder how you felt when you heard that. It's your heart just sinks, doesn't it? It's just such an awful thing. Pray? Yes, of course. Act? What on earth do we do? What can we do? Did you see this picture of this man during the week? Any of you see him in the media? No, some of you have, few of you have. Yes, you've seen him. Yeah, Andrew Greystone, his name is. He is a Christian man over in Manchester. And he works in the multi-faith area over there in Manchester. And when he saw this, he asked himself, how will the people here feel when they're going to prayer this week? And he answered himself, scared, terrified. And he asked himself another question, this very ordinary man, and he said, what can I do? Can I help? Is there something I can do to help these friends? And he did this all on his own. He put a banner on, and I don't know if you can read it, it's a bit faint, but he said, standing alone outside his local mosque, he said, you are my friends. I will watch while you pray. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about you, but when I read it, I thought it was so beautiful. I cried. And I cried at the pain that was happening to people. I cried because of the beauty of what this guy had done, and I cried in remorse at my lack, at my inability to think and to act in some way like that. When people asked Jesus about the victims, he said quite clearly, they are no more or less sinful than all of you are. no more or no less sinful. He said we all have need to repent. In other words, I suppose we could say, we all need to have our lives reorientated Godwards, rather than towards ourselves and our own desires, but to actually say, I want to become more like you. I want to think like you. I want to be able to love like you. I want to be able to act more in keeping with your will, with your thoughts, with the way that you love God, orientated into God's way. Remember, though, that when we're trying to be fruitful for God and we're trying our best, we are not on our own. That's the joy. Remember the gardener who said, no way am I leaving this tree to its own fate, really. He said, I'm going to do my bit. Well, for me, that reminds me that God's Holy Spirit is always with us. And he's always saying, there is help for you to become beautiful people, people that are like God, people whose hearts are more and more getting more and more orientated into the things of God and into God's ways. So a final thought, what will that fruit that grows out of your life, what will it look like? Will it look like any of this? Of course not. Stupid idea. But if I say, just look around. We just look around for a minute. Just look at the people next to you or around you. I know it's the hardest thing to do in church. You kind of think, oh no, I don't want to make eye contact with anybody. This is hard. But as you look at one another, that's what the fruit is going to look like. It's you, us, ordinary people, who open our hearts to God, that become the beautiful fruit that God calls us to be. Amen. Amen.